And happy and peacock proud today that we were able to trick everybody to swap on first Sunday. Yeah. Ronnie knew about it. But yeah, we're happy to have the Super Swap Sunday. One of the things that I know we all wanted to do was connect our cultures in the city. Because I think one of the most divided times of our worship is Sunday morning. And we all need to understand that heaven is not going to be segregated. There's not going to be different sections in heaven. We're all God's children. No matter what color we are, we are all God's children. And so can you do me a favor and just give God a hand clap of praise? Now, listen, if that was for me, that would be okay. But I want you to give the God that woke you up this morning a real hand clap of praise. All right. So before I get too far into what I'm supposed to do today, let me introduce my lovely wife, Anissa. Amen. And the little one, he's on his iPad. Y'all pray for him. He's still coming along. Just pray for him. But I see Ronnie's representing with the New Jerusalem shirt on today. Yeah, he bought that a couple of years ago, and he said, "Pastor, I'm going to wear this shirt." I was like, "Man, let's represent. Let's do it all together." Amen. And so I understand that Pastor Jimmy has been in the series going through the book of Luke. And I told him, I said, "Man, I'm not sure if I want to even try to follow your footsteps, man. You know, you're some kind of preacher." And he was like, "Man, do what God leads you to do." And so if y'all allow me, I want to moonwalk backwards in the book of Luke, but let's go to chapter 9. Can we go to chapter 9 this morning? Yeah, I know y'all are in chapter 17, I believe, right now. So we're going to moonwalk backwards, and then y'all can skip forward when he gets back, all right? Luke chapter 9, we'll begin at around verse 12, and then we'll go through to verse 17. I'm reading from the English Standard Version, and it says, "Now the day began to wear away, and the 12 came and said to him, 'Send the crowd away to go into the surrounding villages and countryside to find lodging and get provisions, for we are here in a desolate place.' But he said to them, 'You give them something to eat.' They said, 'We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we are to go buy food for all of these people. For there are about 5,000 men.' And he said to the disciples, 'Have them each sit down into groups of 50. And they did so, and he had them all sit down, and taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and he said a blessing over them. Then he broke the loaves, gave them to his disciples to set before the crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. And what was left over was picked up, 12 baskets of broken pieces." So this morning, I just want to talk with you. Now listen, I need y'all to talk back with me. I got a 30-minute sermon or I got an hour sermon, just depending on your interaction with me this morning, all right? But seriously, I want to talk this morning with this message entitled, "There's a Blessing in Being Broken." There's a blessing in being broken. Do me a favor, look at your neighbor, the one that you're sitting close to, the one you're sitting next to, and say, "Neighbor, I told y'all, y'all got to talk to me. This is class participation." I would say, "Neighbor, oh neighbor, there is a blessing in being broken." I believe that God wants to bless all of us. I believe in the blessings of God. When I read through the pages of Holy Writ, I believe Malachi 3:10, where the Bible says that God says, "I will open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive." But I also believe Psalm 37:4, where the Bible says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." I believe Job 36:11 that says, "If you hear him and serve him, that they will end their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure." I believe John 14:13, where the Bible says, "Ask what you will in my name, and I will give it to you so the Father may be glorified." But then I also believe Deuteronomy 28, where the Bible says, that if you obey the Lord, that he will bless you. He will set you high above the nations. You'll be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. Blessed when you go out. Blessed when you come in. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the country. But let me caution you, because the Bible keeps on going. It says, if you don't obey the Lord, you won't be blessed in the city and you won't be blessed in the field. And so what are you saying this morning, Pastor Brown? I'm simply suggesting to you that your blessings are associated with your obedience. That you cannot live how you want to live and think that God is going to bless you. You can't do what you want to do and think that God is going to bless you. You cannot live a secret life and then have a saved life on Sunday and think God is going to bless you. God is going to bless you by your obedience in a daily lifestyle. And so it is that we should encourage one another to always live the way God wants us to live, to always do what God wants us to do. And I believe that God wants to bless us with cars, clothes, and cribs, and creature comforts. But God doesn't want to bless us, and God won't bless us if we're not living right. And only you know if you're living right. Only you know, because my dad used to say it this way, while we're hooking and crooking, God is looking and booking. God is always keeping tabs on what we got going on. And so we need to make sure, my friends, make sure that we are doing what God wants us to do and that everything is pleasing to God. But watch this. The problem with so many of us is we confuse our blessings. We confuse the means of delivery with the source. Because we think that unless the blessing miraculously falls from heaven into our laps, that it's not from God. But can I caution you to tell you that every sickness is not from Satan and every promotion is not from God? How do you know that? Can you prove that? Yes, let me prove it. When you remember in John chapter 9, the Bible said that there was a boy that was born blind. This young man was born blind, and they said, who's sin that this boy was born blind, his mother, his father, or him? Now, I always had issues with how could this boy sin if he were just born, but we'll talk about that another day. But the Bible says, Jesus says, this boy was born blind so that the glory of God might be revealed. Do you remember the woman that had the infirmity? She was bent over for 18 years. And the Bible says, Jesus said, should this woman not be loosed from the infirmities that Satan has bound her with? And so you cannot confuse the means of delivery with the source, because God has unique ways of blessing us. How do you know, Pastor? Have you ever gone to a restaurant and somebody paid the tab and you didn't know who paid the tab? That's God blessing you. Have you ever been riding down the street and you didn't, listen, you know, there's some people that's like me, that I take chances with my gas tank. Yeah, I got a Toyota and I take chances with my gas tank. With the light is on, that means I still got a little more time. When it get to the top of the E, I still got a little more time. When it get to the middle of the E, I know I still got a little more time. But when it gets to the bottom of the E, I always seem to find myself nowhere near an exit where a gas station is. But God has a way of making sure that I get to where I'm trying to go. Why? Because God blesses us even when we're ignorant. Come on, y'all clap for me. Everything is not satanic. I know there are some people who give the devil way more credit than the devil deserves. We say that the devil is after me, the devil is on my trail, the devil is busy. But what if I told you that it wasn't satanic, it was sovereign? Because when Job got sick, it wasn't the devil, it was God. God allowed access to say, allowed Satan access so that he can get to Job. And all I'm trying to tell you is God has a unique way of doing what God does, but God does what he does so that he can get the best out of us. So it is. God wants to bless us, but sometimes God's way of blessing us is by breaking us. Anybody in here ever been broken? Okay, I got half y'all over here. Let me talk to this side. Anybody on this side ever been broken? Middle section, I won't leave y'all out. Y'all look happy over there. Anybody over there ever been broken? Let's be honest. Let's be real honest. That a broken you is the best you. How can you say that? When I'm hurting, when I have tears in my eyes, when I can't sleep, when I'm frustrated, when I'm stressed out, when I'm taking pills to go to sleep, I go to sleep sleepy and wake up sleepy. I'm drinking 5-hour energy. I'm drinking Red Bull. I'm going to the doctor trying to get medicine just so I can get myself through. How can you say that a best me is a broken me? Watch this. Because you wouldn't pray like you prayed if you wasn't broken. You wouldn't read the Bible the way you read the Bible if you weren't broken. You wouldn't talk to God the way you talk to God if you weren't broken. You wouldn't give your tithes and offering the way you give if you weren't broken. And let's be truthful. The truth is that the best you is a broken you, because when you're broken, God can use you. God can't use anybody that's stiff and rigid. God wants somebody that's broken. God wants somebody whose life has been in shambles. God wants people whose lives have been messed up. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because you understand what it's like to be up and what it's like to be down. You understand what it's like to have it together. You know what it's like to have it when everything is falling apart. And all I'm suggesting to you is that if you allow God to break you, God has a unique way of blessing you through breaking you. How do you know that, Pastor? Well, Let's look through the text. That was my introduction. I got 3 points, and I promise you, we're going to fly out of here and have fun. Watch the text. Jesus is on one of his teaching excursions. Y'all know Jesus was on a whole lot of those. He's always teaching something to the people. And so Jesus is on his teaching excursion. Watch the text. It says these people are tired and hungry. Jesus says, go to a desolate place and get you a staycation. Let me put a pin right here. I know we webcasting and people can see us, but can I just talk to y'all for a moment? You don't have to spend a lot of money to get rest. How can you say that, Pastor? Just go over there to the Comfort Inn. Don't park your car. Have somebody take you over there. Don't let nobody know where you are. Cut your phone off, cut the TV off, and just get some rest. It's called a staycation. Come on, y'all talk to me. Anybody here ever had a staycation? Y'all sleep. Let me talk to y'all. Anybody here ever had a staycation? Yeah. Listen, I don't want to be bothered with nobody. I don't want to talk to nobody. We ain't texting. We're not Facebooking. We're not Instagramming. We're not tweeting. We're not doing any of that, because I'm just trying to get myself together. And what Jesus tells the disciples is, get yourself together. But here's the problem. The problem is Jesus has this crowd of people following him. And everybody's hungry. That's what I'm thinking. Matter of fact, I'm hungry right now. Okay, y'all not hungry. Let me go back over this. Let me talk to y'all. They're not going to get much participation out of me today, so I'm going to talk to y'all today. I'm hungry right now. I was like, okay, should I go to Sweetie's and get me a donut before I come? Maybe they'll have donuts there. I said, well, I just popped a couple of peppermints, and I said, well, you got donuts right there. Listen, look at God blessing in the business. Didn't I tell y'all God got unique ways of blessing you? I've been up here talking this whole time, and it wasn't until I said I was hungry that I saw that box of donuts. Praise the Lord. We go work that in a minute, all right? Jesus has these people following him, and it's literally 5,000 men. Now, here's what the Bible doesn't tell you. There's women and children involved too. When you read the synoptic gospels, when you parallel Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are men and women who are women and children who are also following Jesus. And these people are hungry. Watch this. They're hungry spiritually. How do I know they're hungry spiritually? Because they're following Jesus. And to follow Jesus means what? That they want more of Jesus. And so my question to you this morning is, how many of you here want more of Jesus? That listen, Sunday is good, Wednesday is good, but I need Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. I need more of Jesus. How do I get more of Jesus? I read his word. How do I get more of Jesus? I pray to him. How do I get more than Jesus? I do whatever I can to connect with him, because I understand that Jesus is my source and power and where I get revived. So the people, they're hungry. They're hungry spiritually, but they're also hungry physically. How do I know that? Because they said they want something to eat. And the disciples said, well, how are we supposed to get these people something to eat? How are we going to buy food for all these people? Now, this ain't for y'all that don't like to eat. This is for us who like to eat. How many in here get hangry? Come on, my sister raised both hands right here. Come on, yeah, I got some witnesses. Yeah, come, y'all stand with me if you get hangry, the ones that raise both hands. Yeah, yeah. See, that's what I'm talking about. See, when you get hangry, the ones that sitting down, they don't understand our dilemma. Because our dilemma is I'm hungry and I got an attitude. Okay. You're not really hangry. See, if you're hungry, you'll sit at the table and you'll have conversation with people and you'll wait patiently until your food gets there. But it's when you're hangry that we're not talking, don't text me, don't talk to me, wait until the food comes. Do you want an appetizer? Yes, I want appetizer and I want the bread that y'all gonna bring with the butter and the honey. I want everything right now because I got an attitude because I'm hungry. And the Bible says that these people are hungry. They're hungry spiritually and they're hungry physically. And the Bible says that Jesus tells them, here's what you're supposed to do. Go and get them something to eat. Now, I want you to understand something. Jesus knows what he's going to do. But there's a thing called divine sovereignty and human responsibility. That you can't put everything on God. There are some things you have to do for yourself. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm hungry. God, I know you provided manna and quail for the children of Israel in the wilderness. Can you just send somebody to bring me something to eat? No. God said, get in your car and go to Tamales and get you something to eat. God has the power to do whatever we want God to do, but there's a thing called human responsibility, which means that we have to get up from where we are and do what God told us to do. He said, you go get them something to eat. So the responsibility is now not on Jesus. The responsibility is on us. And watch this. There are times when God shows us that I'm going to do something great, but you have to understand that when you do your part, that's when I'll do my part. So God says, when you give, I'll bless you. When God says you obey, I'll bless you. It's divine sovereignty and human responsibility. But then watch the text. Verse, when you read the Bible, it says, watch this. That Jesus took the two fish and the five loaves. He blessed it. He broke it. And then he gave. Which brings me now to my points. That you have to understand that God has a plan for breaking. How do you know that? Well, I brought seven friends with me. Y'all looking for them, aren't you? Y'all like, this pastor has lost his mind for real. I have seven friends with me. Y'all don't see them? Y'all looking like for real? I have seven friends with me. Y'all want them to be your friends too? Some of y'all like, uh-uh. Some of y'all like, he got some imaginary stuff going on. Not really sure if I want to engage in that. But I brought seven friends. They're the two fish and the five loaves right in the text. And today, they brought a message that they wanted to tell ALF. They said that there's a plan in breaking. When you read the Bible, first thing you have to understand is that if God is going to break you, you have to make yourself available to be used. How do you make yourself available? Just say, God, I'm available to you. Whatever you want me to do. God, just use me as you please. Whatever you desire for me to do, I'm available for you to use me as you so desire. So we read John 6 and 6. The Bible says that Philip was like, how are we going to feed all these people? All I have is a little boy with a sack lunch. And he is in two fish and five loaves of bread. But Jesus knew what he was going to do. Because what the Bible says in Jeremiah 29:11, God says, I know the plans I have for you. God already put the blueprint out for your life. God already made the planogram. He already created the schematic for your life because God knows what's best for you. And even though it doesn't make sense when you go through troubles and stress and trials, God says you need to understand all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And so when I read the Bible, Ronnie, I started looking up in Greek and Hebrew and I was looking, what does this mean? All things. Guess what it meant? All things. That's exactly what it meant. Because you cannot have flour by itself because that's not impressive. You can't have eggs by itself because that's not impressive. Can't have cake batter by itself because it's not impressive. You cannot have all the ingredients that it takes. You cannot have icing by itself. Why? Because it's not impressive. But when you mix it all together, when you put it in the oven, after a while, it comes out this beautiful presentation. Why? Because God takes the pieces of your life and he mixes it all together, not for your good, but for somebody else. And so Jesus already knew what he was going to do. Watch the text. He says, the loaves are few and the fish are small. I mean, they were like little baby perch, I guess. But Jesus can take even the smallest, unimpressive, and insignificant things and do something great with it. How do you know that? Y'all remember David fighting Goliath, don't you? He had five smooth stones and a slingshot. Now, I've heard guys say all kind of stuff. Let me tell you what he had. He had five smooth stones and a slingshot. And one shot took Goliath out. God can take the smallest things, the most insignificant and the most unimpressive, and God can do great wonders with that. How do you know that? I'm looking at all of your beautiful faces this morning. And let's be honest, you didn't come out of the womb saved. Oh, y'all did? I'm gonna get y'all today. Yes or no? Did y'all come out of the womb saved? No, because when you was at the party, you weren't thinking about Jesus. When you were drinking, you weren't thinking about Jesus. Okay, let me not talk to y'all no more. Let me go back on the side. When you were doing what you're doing, nobody's thinking about Jesus. But what did he do? He took your life and he turned it around, not just for you, but for somebody else. And so he has a plan for breaking you. When you go through stress, when you go through situations, understand that God has a plan for breaking you. You don't understand it now. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Especially when you're studying, when you're coming to church, when you're tithing, when you're serving, when you're praying, when you're fasting, when you're reading the Bible, and it's like, God, I'm doing everything right, and everything is still falling apart. God says, I trust you with it. That's why I gave it to you. If God didn't trust you, God would never break you. There are some people, let's be honest, there's some people in here that's been through some stuff so bad, so tough, that if you told your neighbor what you went through, they would look at you and say, I don't know how you made it through that. Because we don't tell our story. God does so much for us, but we don't tell our story. But when we learn to tell our story, then that will help somebody else. That if God helped me, if God blessed me, if God put me all back together, guess what? God can do the same thing for you. So not only is there a plan for the breaking, can we look at the process in the breaking? It's right in the text. The process in the breaking, he says, he took the fish and the loaves. Y'all got that part in your Bible? Y'all didn't close your Bibles, did you? Hey, listen, don't come in here trying to eat my donuts, okay? I just want y'all to stay with me, okay? Those are mine. I've already staked claim to them, okay? All right? We good? Because I don't want no trouble after church. Because I become this whole different person after I'm done preaching when I'm hangry. All right? Watch now. So there's this process in breaking. What's the process? Look at your Bible. Everybody open your Bibles, because I want you to see this. I really want you to see this. Underline it, highlight it. Young people, I know y'all got iPads and iPhones. Get on them. Because I want you to see this. And plus, I want to come back. I don't want Jimmy to get mad at me because I didn't do my homework. Watch the Bible. It says he took the two fish and the five loaves. He blessed it. He broke it. And then he gave it. Is that what your Bible says? Come on, talk. Yeah, thank you. Talk back to me. He blessed it. He broke it. But then he gave it. So I had some issues with this text. It brought some consternation for me. Because I said, why would God bless first, then break, and then give? Seems backwards to me. The process seems backwards. Why would God bless first, then break, and then give? I'm like, I'm scratching my head. Because I couldn't understand. That just doesn't make sense to my mind. But God says, your ways are not my ways, and neither your thoughts my thoughts. And I'm sitting there like, God, but this doesn't make sense to me. And watch what the Bible does. The Bible teaches us the two fish and the five loaves. They teach us the process for real breaking. He says he blessed it, he broke it, and then he gave. And I said, God, what does this mean? He says the blessing was the anesthesia before the breaking. God says, you would have never submitted to me if I hadn't blessed you first. Because too many of us, if we're honest, we won't do anything until God blesses us first. But God says, I had to bless you first before I broke you, because the blessing and the breaking has a purpose. Watch the movements. So God says, I put you on the table. I blessed you, then I put you on the table. Anybody here ever had surgery? Yeah. What kind of surgery did you have? Gallbladder, all right. So what if the doctor had gone in and he says, we're going to do your surgery today. We're not going to give you any anesthesia. Exactly. Who else said they had surgery? What did you have? Ankle. Yes, sir. So what did you have done? Okay. Ooh, that sounds horrible. Bless God. Thank God that you can walk again. Yes, Lord. So what if the doctor walks in and says, we're going to put all these pins and screws and plates in your ankle, but we're not going to give you any anesthesia? Exactly. All right. Now, are y'all ready to participate this time? All right. Y'all not ready. Let me talk to this section right here. Y'all still not ready. Have y'all, any of y'all had surgery before? What'd you have? Your appendix. So what? How old are you? 16. I know you in that teenage years. You all cool and calm. I got you. Listen, I've been there, brother. I got you. And the rest of your crew over here, they like, thank God he didn't save me. Right? All right. So had you had your appendix taken out? And the doctor says, listen, the anesthesiologist couldn't make it, but we're going to go ahead and do it. What would you tell him? No, all right. The hardest section in the room. Father, help us now. Touch your people and our donuts in Jesus' name. What kind of surgery? So what if the doctor says to you that we're not going to use any anesthesia? All of us.
My mom would have said,
No, she would have said no, right?
I don't think so.
Right. Why? Why would you say no? Why would you say no? Because you know it would be painful. It would hurt so bad. And let's be honest, for us surgery folks that had surgery, boy, that is the best sleep you can get when you get that anesthesia. I'm telling you, God is in anesthesia. We'll talk about that another day. But the blessing is in the anesthesia. So God says, I had to numb you first before I break you, because I need you to understand what this means. This means that I'm about to do something great with you, but you cannot do it if you're not available and if you're not ready to be broken. And so God then, watch this, God's, his algebra messes me up because God multiplies by dividing. He uses broken pieces to get everything together. So we didn't watch the last point of the text. There's a plan in breaking. There's a purpose for the breaking. But then, watch this, there's a process in the breaking, but then there's a purpose for the breaking. Watch the purpose. You didn't close your Bibles, did you? Good Bible students don't close their Bible. Preacher might tell you anything. He might tell you that the angel did it. You know, you just got to know what's going on. Watch this. So here's the purpose. Remember, while the two fish and five loaves are talking to you, the purpose for it all. Because there's 5,000 hungry men who's hangry. They want more of Jesus spiritually. They need to be satisfied physically. And so the purpose is watch this, to multiply your usage. How many people can you give your testimony to? You should be able to walk up to anybody and tell them what God has done for you. You should be able to walk up to anybody and tell them how God has blessed you. You should be at school and you ought to be able to tell people that I go to ALF and God is good to me. That's the purpose. The purpose is because there's somebody else that needs your testimony. People that have cancer. When God heals their body, they have to tell somebody. Because we are to encourage somebody else. And watch this. God blesses us to be a blessing to somebody else. And how do we bless them? We bless them by encouraging them, by telling them that if God blessed me, if God healed me, if God took care of me, then God can do the same thing for you. That's the purpose. Because there were 5,000 people who needed to be fed. There were 5,000 people who needed to be satisfied. And Jesus used all the two fish and the five loaves of bread so he can satisfy. And watch this. The Bible says, but there were broken pieces still left. Which means what? That God knows how to use you in such a way that he can use you to reach people that he doesn't even reach. Because remember, the Bible says, greater works shall you do, which means that God is going to use you to reach the drug addict, to reach the alcoholic, to reach the prostitute. God is going to use you, not because you've been there, but because you got a testimony that God is still a way-making God. Being broken doesn't mean that you're weak. Being broken doesn't mean that you're insignificant. Being broken simply suggests that you're under somebody else's control. It's literally like trying to break a wild stallion. The wild stallion doesn't want anybody on its back. The wild stallion don't want anybody taming him. What does the wild stallion want? The wild stallion wants, provide me shelter, provide me food, and provide me water. But the trainer knows that if I'm going to break him, I got to ride his back. And what does that mean? That means that God sometimes has to ride our back so that he can get the best out of us. I was a young boy. And, I like ice cream. I think I got more heads nodding. Now I think I got y'all now. Took me 40 minutes to get y'all. I'm going to tell Jimmy, man, you, this left side make me work today, man. But y'all like ice cream? Okay, yeah. So I'm not from Greenville, I'm from Garland. Yeah, but back in the day, Ronnie. We go way back like a Cadillac with four flats, all right? So we good. So watch this. So back in the day, I had this little pink thing, porcelain, had a little slit at the top, called a, thank you, piggy bank. See, y'all young people, y'all not ready for this. Y'all, Y'all got Cash App and all that stuff. How many have piggy banks? Y'all, come on. Thank you. Come on, be a witness with your boy. All right, be a witness with your boy. All right. And so I liked ice cream. And every day, the ice cream truck would come through the neighborhood. Now, if you ain't never had ice cream from the ice cream truck, then you ain't had no real ice cream. Yeah. Matter of fact, I saw an ice cream man the other day, and I cut him off in my car because I needed some ice cream off the ice cream truck. Bump, yes, man. Listen, I'm going to come around and give you a high five. Come, won't God do it? Give me something right here. That's what I'm talking about. The Bomb Pops, Tweety Birds, the glove with the gumball in it, the ice cream sandwiches that had vanilla and chocolate and strawberry. The lemon chill with the spoon. Yeah. I got some help. Got some help from the worship leader. He's like, we gonna get that as soon as we leave, go to Walmart. Amen. but I like ice cream. But you know, they sold a whole lot of other stuff. But man, that ice cream was it because it was in the deep freezer. It's one thing to have it in the freezer in the refrigerator, but to have it in the deep freezer, man, it's good and cold. So one time this ice cream truck is coming down the street. How do I know? Because I can hear it. Yeah. Real ice cream truck got some bells and whistles on it. And they drive slower than they drive in the school zone because they want all the kids to get their parents' money and run to the ice cream truck. So as I'm going to I hear the ice cream truck, man, I'm telling you, I'm the kid in the candy store. I am jumping up and down. I said, Daddy, the ice cream truck is coming. Can you give me some money? Daddy, the ice cream truck is coming. Can you give me some money? And the dad said, you got money. Go get it. I said, what? He said, you have money in your piggy bank. Go get it. So I go and I'm trying to get money out of the piggy bank. If you had a real piggy bank, you understood you couldn't get money out of it. Takes time to get the money out of the piggy bank. But here's the problem. I hear the siren. I don't have time. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Time is short, because I'm going to miss my Bomb Pop. Time is short. So, Daddy, I need you to give me some money. He said, go to your piggy bank. I said, so here I am. Go to the piggy bank. Y'all ain't had no real piggy bank. Shaking it, I can hear it, but nothing is coming out. Do you hear me? For whatever reason, the 50-cent piece always turns sideways all the time. Listen, okay, so now we have a dilemma. What is the dilemma? Time is not on my side because I can hear the ice cream truck. So I go back in there, I said, Daddy, I can't get the money out. I can't get it out. Can you just give me some money? I'll give it back to you. He said, no, you got your own money. I said, Daddy, I'm going to miss the ice cream truck if you don't give me some money. He said, go and get the piggy bank. So here I am again, shaking, just shaking. Ask me how much came out. Thank you. You answered the question. Nothing came out. I have an issue because remember, the ice cream truck is driving slow, but time is not on my side. Because I heard it in the distance, but now I can hear it loud and clear. Guess what that means? It's close. And I don't have time. So, Daddy, please just give me some money so I can get some ice cream. He says, go get the piggy bank. And I'm going to show you how to get money out of it. So I go get the piggy bank. He says, now shake it. I said, Dad, I'm tired of shaking it. I'm tired of shaking it because nothing's coming out. I'm tired of shaking this stupid piggy bank. If you just give me some money, this whole thing will be solved. He said, the problem is you have value on the inside, but you don't know how to get it out. I said, okay, well, but I don't care about a lesson right now. I'm trying. Listen, we got time for life lessons. Do you understand? Time is against me. That man's not going to wait on me if I'm not running down the street after him. So my dad picks up the piggy bank, lifts it over his head, drops it. Now, do you see the problem? He broke my piggy bank. That's my problem. That is my problem. He broke my piggy bank. He said, but here's what you got to understand. What you want is on the inside of it. And if you were going to get what was on the inside of it to get what you want, you had to break it to get the value out. Ask me, did I get my ice cream? Yes, I did. Piggy bank pieces and all. Listen, I'm grabbing everything. Running out the street. Chased the man down. Got the ice cream that I wanted. But I told you that whole story to let you know that sometimes God has to lift you over his head and let you down and break you to pieces. Why? Because God wants to get the value out of you. You never know how valuable you are until God breaks you. You never know what you have inside of you until you've been in the most hurtful place. How many of you in here had their heart broken? How many of you here has been crying at night? How many of you here struggling with something? And it's all because God wants to get the best out of you. God doesn't want to destroy you. God simply wants to develop you. Give God a hand clap of praise. That God's purpose is not to destroy you in any facet. But God's purpose is to develop you because God wants to get the best out of you. Let me pray with you. Father, we love you. God, we thank you. We don't always understand why you do what you do and why things are the way they are, but God, what we do understand is that you have our best interests at heart. And so God, Father, we pray now that we will be available for you, available to be used, available to be broken, available to be in pieces, because we understand that you just want to multiply our usage, because there's somebody who needs our encouragement, somebody who needs our love, somebody who needs a word. God, we pray that you would use us in such a way that it will be edifying to your people and glorifying to you all in the same time. Thank you for the lesson of the loaves. Thank you for the lesson of the fish. Thank you for allowing them to speak to us. And God, we pray that we would take this message and we would apply this message to our life and understand that, God, it may not be all that we want it to be, but we understand that you work everything out for our good and for your glory. Help us to be better servants and better stewards. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.